I was just thinking, sitting back there a few minutes ago, since I've been coming up here into Hendersonville, North Carolina, and having revivals, I was just thinking, I think Sister Vera has been one of the most faithful attenders that we've had through all of our meetings. It looks like, maybe not every night, I don't know, but it looks to me like almost every night, wherever I'm at having church, she's always there. So I know she's bound to be growing in the Lord. She may not say much or act like it, but she's bound to be growing in God because not only does she come to church, but all through the services, she's wide awake and listening very intently. Have you ever noticed, Brother Bobby? Very attentively. I hope what I'm saying don't prove to be a snare. I'm just trying to tell the truth, and Sister, I hope you understand what I'm saying. But I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart that people at that age will come to church and not only come, but listen sincerely that they might be able to grasp the Word of God. Now, I don't mean by that others haven't come and listened. They have. But it looks like she's been as faithful as anybody I've ever seen. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me over in the second chapter of Acts. Let's see, how many of you got your Bibles tonight? Let me see your hands. All right, that's good. Now, the second chapter of Acts, let's start the 15th verse. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will shew wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden up. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this onward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now then, let's go back here just a little bit. Over in the 40th verse here, you'll notice Peter is exhorting the people to save themselves from this generation of his day. Now, according to this, in the day of Peter, they were already going into perversion, and they were already doing the wrong things, and they were already having trouble out of the people around them as they fought against the gospel. Even in the days of Peter, they fought viciously against the gospel. Peter was beaten, and some of the others that was with Peter were also beaten. And the reason that they were beaten was because they confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll notice, any time that you confess the name of the Lord Jesus, then you'll always run into trouble. Now, as long as you don't confess the name of the Lord, you're not going to really have any trouble. But when you confess the name of the Lord, then your trouble begins. And so it is here, Peter in their day was having such a hard time trying to preach the gospel. And the Bible said that on the day of Pentecost, here where Peter spoke to them, that God had gathered together out of every nation under heaven, he had gathered together some people to hear this great message that was to be preached at Pentecost. And as Peter preached the message, he told the people, he said, save yourselves from this underworld generation. He said, save yourselves. Now then, a lot of times we think that all we have to do is call on God and ask God to save us from our sin. But there's more to it than that. The Bible said, if you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. And he tells us that if we seek God, then we shall find the Lord. And if we knock, it'll be open unto us. But if we just wait for God to do it all, then we'll never be able to come into the spiritual mind and the spiritual revelation and the spiritual oneness of God. But it takes our efforts. It takes us doing something. We've got to put forth an effort to be able to get a hold of God, because God is a spirit. And the patriarchs of old, when he speaks of them, it said they endured as seeing him who is invisible. Many times around the country, as Betty and I have traveled and sought the Lord Jesus, many times we've been stranded in the mountains, stranded in the desert, we've been in cities. A lot of times I rolled into the city, and just as I'd come into the city, the gas would give out, and all the money would be gone, and we'd be thousands of miles away from home and anybody that we knew. And then tears would begin to roll down my cheeks, and I'd lift my face to the Lord, and I'd say, Father, you said to go, and I'm here. And immediately the Holy Spirit would just sweep over me and begin to speak to me and say, don't worry. And in just a little while, everything would open up. God would have us somewhere. A lot of times in a nice motel, all the rent paid up, have the refrigerator sitting over here full of good things to eat, and everything just comfortable and cozy, just as could be. Because because we dare to trust in the living God and try to do what Peter said here, to save ourselves from this underworld generation, to get away from evil, and to separate ourselves from the sins and the cares of life. Today, I walked uptown, and I felt so bad. I felt like Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus said the last generation would be a sinful and would be an adulterous generation. And everywhere you look, it's just sin, and it's evil. And I noticed all through the stores, all through the show windows, and everywhere that you look, all you could see was just something that was portrayed to cause lust and something that was portrayed to cause sin. Many years ago, it wasn't like that. That's why that in the day in which we live, that's why there's so much evil in the world. That's why there's so much lust in the world. That's why there's so much sin in the world. It's because the devil is doing everything that he can to put it on display. He puts it on display on the billboards. He puts it on display on the show counters. And he puts it on display in the newspapers and in the movies and on the television, on the street corners. And everywhere you look, Satan is continually putting lust on display. The Bible said, "Know ye not that the spirits that are within you lusteth unto envy?" Now then, the spirit that is in mankind is always lustful. It's always wanting something of the world. It's never satisfied. I made mention in the message here the other night how that the spirit of man is never contented with anything that you give him. Did you know it's a statistical fact that American people are known to be the most restless people in all the world? The most unthankful people in all the world. And they're also the most unholy people in all the world. And yet they're the most religious people in all the world. Did you know that statistics show that America has more new inventions than any other country in the world? And yet statistics say that her people grow weary of the inventions more rapidly than anybody else in the world. She's never contented. Now you say, what causes that, Brother Pike? It's because America has come to a knowledge of God and of the heavenly things, and she'll never be satisfied anymore with the things that's in this world. America will never be contented anymore because she's tasted of the Holy Spirit. She's been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted of the good word of God to come and show the things of the Lord, and she'll never be satisfied with the beggarly elements of the world anymore. Now then, people overseas can be satisfied with those things because they've never seen anything greater. But if they ever taste the good things of God, they'll never be satisfied with them anymore. Did you know Paul gave us a warning? He said that in the last days, this was the warning that he gave. You know, sometimes the Spirit of God speaketh expressly. That is, it speaks very clearly. And you understand it very clearly. Sometimes it's not too clear. But sometimes he speaks very expressly and you understand what he's saying. And Paul, one day the Holy Spirit was moving and Paul began to prophesy, and he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanded to abstain from meat, which God has made to be received with thanksgiving of them that know and believe the truth. He said in the last days, people would be headed and high-minded, lovers of self more than lovers of God, that they'd be lovers of pleasure, that they'd be wicked, despisers of them that do good, truce breakers. He said perilous times shall come, and there'll be earthquakes, and there'll be turmoils and perplexities, and failing of heart, and roaring of the sea, and all of these things shall come to pass. And Jesus said at the final analysis of it, he said, and the stars shall fall from heaven. He said, and the moon shall turn into blood, and all of the earth shall mourn. For then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man appearing in the heavens. We are in the last days. We are right in the very last hours, and we're waiting right now for Christ to break the clouds of heaven and appear to us. And Peter, here in his day, he kept preaching. He said, save yourselves. Do something. Rise up and save yourselves from this underworld generation. When the lepers sat at the gate, there in the record of the Old Testament, they sat there at the gate and they were dying. They had nobody to help them, nobody to offer them a hand. And on the inside of the city, there was a great famine. And just over the way, there was a great battle. And people were battling over here, and people were starving over here. And they just didn't have any way at all to turn. And they didn't know what to do. One of them turned to the other, said, we could go back into the city. Another said, well, if we do, they're starving over in the city. They're having a famine in the city. I don't see any reason for going back into the city. Another one said, well, if we sit here, we're going to die. So another one said, let's rise up and see what we can do. Let's save ourselves. Let's make an effort. Let's get up from where we're at and let's save ourselves. Listen, folks, you're dying. Every day of your life, you're dying. It doesn't matter how much you stand before the mirror and comb your hair. It doesn't matter how much of the pretty things of the world that you buy to adorn your body with, or how much food that you buy to take care of this health. You're dying every day, every minute, every hour. You're dying. You're passing on. You'll never come back this way again. This is the last time that you'll ever go through this pain that you're going through right now. Did you know that? You'll never pass this way again. Now then, the prophet of the Old Testament, he made the statement back there. He said, we'll not pass this way again. We're going this way only one time. A lot of people say, well, tomorrow I intend to do something for myself. I intend to do something for God. I intend to rise up from this place that I'm in. But did you know that tomorrow will not account for today? Did you know that if I live holy tomorrow, it will never take the place of today? No matter what I do tomorrow, it still doesn't affect today. Today is either on record for me or it's on record against me. Yesterday is on record in my behalf or it's against me. I'll never go back into yesterday. I'll never return in today, in this day. And tomorrow, if I neglect tomorrow, I'll never have a chance to go through it again. Remember, the Bible said that you're going to be judged according to the deeds that your spiritual man does while he's living in this body of clay. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel it meet to stir up your pure mind in Christ. Listen, you're going to be judged. Your inner man's going to be judged by every deed that you do while you're walking in this tabernacle. You're going to be judged, folks. Everything that you've ever done, whether it be in secret or whether it be openly, God will bring you into account on the day of judgment. And you'll stand there in the presence of the living God and you'll give an account for everything that you've ever done. Then he went farther than that. He said, by your words you will be justified. And by your words you'll be condemned. Every word that you ever spoke, you'll give an account there off in the day of judgment. And Paul said, with my gospel, God shall judge the secrets of men's hearts. Every word that you ever spoke, whether it was in secret, whether it was in the open, no matter where it is, you've got to give an account there off in the day of judgment. Did you know that as a minister, I have tried diligently to remember God in my secret chambers, and to speak in my secret chambers to my wife and to my children and to my friends and to myself the words
that I want to face in the day of judgment, because I know I've got to face every last one of them. And with all of this caution, and with all of this effort to try to do what's right, and try to please God, I still shake, and I still tremble when I think of coming into the presence of God and knowing I've got to give an account for every thought and every intent of my heart. I still shake and tremble before God when I think about it. How much more those that live carelessly. If we live right and we try to do right and we try to do everything that's pleasing to God and we still know that we'll just scarcely be saved. He said, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Peter told him here, he said, save yourselves. Save yourselves. You say, God saved me, Brother Pine. God took me away from sin. God's going to take me into the gates of glory. But Peter said, save yourselves. You've got to save yourself. You've got to do like the lepers. You've got to get up and make an effort. Or you're going to sit there and die. You're going to sit there and die. They would have sit there and died. Leprosy was eating the money. And they said, we can't go back into the city. Did you know that's typical of our day? Did you know that's the typical church of today? Somebody goes out and they invite somebody to come to church. And the person said, well, why come to church? There ain't nothing over at the church. Why? I'd love to go to the house of God. They say, but for the people over there, they don't live right. There's nothing in the church. They say, you don't have the Spirit in the church. You don't have the Word of God in the church. All you have is programs and parties and that kind of thing. You're not getting anywhere while you're dying over there. What's the need of us coming in with you? Well, we know that we're dying. We know that sin is taking our life. But we're persuaded to believe that you're in the same category. We're persuaded to believe that you're doing the very same thing. So then why go back? Why go back? So then the lepers, one said to the other, said, I think the best thing to do is start to using our faith. Let's start to using our faith. Did you know it took faith for them to rise up from where they were there? Can you imagine leprosy? You know what? The other day I went by a place. I felt led of God. I tried to go just according to the leading of the Lord. And this woman over in Georgia had sent word over to Tennessee that she wanted us to come to Georgia or whenever we was in Georgia, come and pray for her. And she was down near Covington, Georgia. So we was in Atlanta, Georgia in a meeting and I went down there to pray for her. I waited till I felt led. And I went down there to pray for her. And I want you to know I went in and looked at her and her face had already shriveled up to where it was bony looking, and that was horrible to think that a woman even had that kind of appearance. But I just shook myself a little bit and said, well, there's nothing too hard for God. God can do anything. And so then I prayed, and I felt the Spirit of God come down, and I felt God's healing touch. And I know in my heart that God touched the woman. Did you know that after that I prayed for that woman, I got the biggest shock that I ever got in my life. You say, well, did the Lord raise her right up? No. No. I know until this hour that God done something for her. And yesterday, I believe it was, I was over at Fred Tom's and God spoke to me again and gave me another assurance that he done something. But I got the shock of my life when one of the ladies there said, I want you to see her hand. And she pulled back the cover, and there her hands had grown out like chicken claws. One, some of the fingers that protruded way out here, long nails that went off of them, and they were long and skinny and bony looking. The little arms had dried up, and they were scaly, and the meat was falling off of the bones. I don't mean just a scab coming off, I mean the chunks of meat was falling off the bones. And then I thought, well, that's absolutely horrible. That's just about more than you can stand to look at. But then I said, well, I might as well just to see what kind of condition the woman's really in. So they uncovered her feet, and there her feet had deformed and grown out crooked and flat like this and caked up thick, real thick, like a great big sour piece of meat with big chunks of flesh falling off. I mean, it looked awful. I can't even begin to describe to you the horror that I saw as I looked at that woman. It was absolutely fantastic to think that any individual could get in such a condition. It's just unbelievable. I wish you could see. It's unbelievable. And even through all of that, that woman is trying to save herself from sin and save herself from the evils of the world. I don't see how in the world she lay there and testified the way she did. She testified of God. She'd been that way for years. And looking up to me and tears streaming down her cheeks, she testified of the glory of God and how good God was and how that she did not mind suffering to glorify the God of heaven. Laying there in that kind of condition and praising and glorifying God, and we mumble and we grumble and we complain. Oh, what will we do in the day of judgment? I was down in Old Mexico not too long ago. And there I sat down, and as I sat there, I watched Sister Nobby. I remember when I went to the state of California, and there in California, I saw Sister Nobby living in a nice big brick home, and her husband on a governmental job, and he fed me like I was a king, gave me a good place to sleep. And then God spoke to me and said, you've got to tell him he's got to go to Mexico. He's to be a Mexico missionary. And I did. And about a year later, God moved him into Mexico. But the thing is, after he went to Mexico, and they'd been there for about a year, Ben and I was down there. And I sat there, and Sister Nobby was trying to figure out how to feed us. They wanted to know how they could feed us. They didn't have anything to eat. No place to get anything to eat, to amount to anything if they'd had any money. Didn't have hardly anything to cook it on if they'd had anything to eat. And there they had one old bed, and I know that Brother Bobby's probably described it to you. It was just some cover that was laying over some planks. That was all he had. And the dirt floor of the adobe walls and the straw top. And I sat down there, and Brother Al Gonzalez had just stepped outside for a little bit. And I sat down over there, and I watched Sister Nobby. I can't speak their language, and I have to get the brother interpret for me. And Sister Nobby, she can't speak English, but very little. So I didn't try to talk with her, and I just sat there and watched her. And while I was sitting there watching her, I saw her pick up a knife, and she started to peeling some, I guess it was avocados. I don't know what it was. But some little something she found on the corner somewhere, and she started peeling on those things. And I sat there, and I kept watching her. As I kept looking at her, I noticed a tear come into the corner of her eye. Then another tear. And then I noticed as she just kept peeling and tears began to stream down her face and drop off. And I sat there and I looked at her and I said, dear God, I said, that's a real woman there. I said, that's a real woman. That's a typical woman of what a Christian ought to be. That's a real godly woman like the frontiersmen of old. That's the kind of women that God raised up in the olden days. Great and mighty women like Mary that gave birth to the Lord Jesus. Women that were clean, women that were pure, women that did not care for the frivolous fashions of this world. They were not interested in the tangible substance. They wasn't interested in how they looked. They were interested in being faithful to their companions or being faithful to God and carrying the message of eternal life. I sat there and watched her. But all the time she was doing that, and the tears was dripping off. You know what she was doing? She was trying to save herself from this wicked and sin-cursed generation. She was trying to separate herself. The Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, the Lord said. Now I want to see. And she was trying her best to get out from among the evils. Trying her best to save herself. Like the leprous men, she had realized her condition. And now by faith, she was rising up and going on with God. And not just on this last trip. We went down to Mexico about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Then we come back up to the Carolinas over here. And while we was down there, Brother Al was very discouraged. Some of the brethren had come down and discouraged him. And they made him think that his labor was all in vain. And so then I went down there, and Brother Al had a dream. And he said, Brother Pike said, in a dream, said, I saw you, and said, I had a little baby. And said, I was trying to get the little baby healed, and said, I couldn't seem to get through to get it healed. And said, the Lord spoke to me and said, I heard a voice, and said, I turned around and said, there you was looking right straight at me. And you said, Brother Gonzalez, don't worry, the baby will be healed. And then I realized that God was talking about the little church as far as I could tell down there. I said, Brother Al, I said, I've got news for you. I said, everybody seems to discourage and tell you that your labor's in vain. I said, but work with this church and work with this people. I said, and do the will of God. I said, I tell you in the name of the Lord, God will heal the breach and he'll give you souls right here if you'll do it. And he realized that the baby would be healed immediately. See, it's just a little infant work. And so then we come back immediately to North Carolina, and Brother David Allen was rejoicing and talking to me, the tears swelling up in his eyes, and he was telling me how that God had dealt with him. And he said, Brother Pike, I just sent $1,027 to our Brother Al Gonzalez. Think about that. Can you imagine somebody peeling a little avocado with dirt floors to sleep on, nothing around them to enjoy, and $1,000 came to them. That was their very own. Well, I don't expect he could have held that. Why, no telling what neither the children done. A whole $1,000 coming to a little group of people on starvation. And you know what? Those men came to me in the wee hours of the morning, and they had wanted me to pray for their throats, where they'd been out all night long trying to irrigate the land just to raise something to eat, because there had been a promise made to them. And they were out there by hand going along trying to water the ground. I don't know whether they'll ever get anything out of it or not, but I believe God will give them something, don't you? I believe God will make that barren land produce. I believe he will for their sakes. And I want you to pray. You say, what are they trying to do, Brother Pike? It's just a little group of people that's trying to save themselves from sin and from the things of the world. They're trying to rise up and go forth in faith that they might be an inspiration and be alive and be saved from evil. The leper said, there's no need for us to sit here. Folks, let me tell you, get away from the things of the world. Tear loose from the things of the world. Get your minds off of the things of the world. The Bible said, lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. Somebody said, well, I want to build me a house. I want to plant me a vineyard. I want to get me a nest egg. I want to put a little money in the bank. I want to send my children through college. Not too long ago, a man made the statement. He said, I quit the ministry. Oh, he did. He didn't give the ministry up, but I quit the ministry as far as being active. And said, I felt like my children had to go through college. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I sent the children through college. He said, to my son. He said, and now I've lost my ministry. Another man I talked to, Brother Bobby probably remembers this one. I told him, I said, Mister, our brother, I said, you better go out and serve God. I said, you better go out and preach the gospel. He said, Brother Pike, I am going out. He said, I'd like about one or two more payments on this little home. I'll have it all paid for. And when I get it all paid for, I said, I'm going to preach the gospel. I said, you better go put God first. God doesn't want to be second in your life. He will not be second in your life. Either God will be first or God will not be in your life at all. So this man went ahead, and as far as I know, he paid for his home. But the last report that I got, right over behind his house was a lake. And in this lake, one of his boys lost his life. See, you say, that's cruel of God. Let me tell you something. The Bible said not to give place to the devil. God didn't do it. He let the devil in. Don't give place to the devil. The Bible said resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You have to put up an effort against him. You know, his boy lost his life. But how many people lost their soul because he didn't go preach? How many will be charged against him in the day of judgment? So then you see, you cannot play around with God. You can't play with God. Now, rise up. Peter said, Rise up and save yourselves. You've got to do something. You might as well to get used to the idea. Rise up and save yourselves. Save yourselves. You want a home, you want a car, you want these things. But the Bible said it's no time to build a house. Now, then, how many of you know when Gehazi come back there to Elisha? And Elisha said, Gehazi, where have you been? He said, I haven't been anywhere. And he said, don't you know that I have spiritual discernment? Don't you know that I can see in visions when you're gone? Don't you know that I saw you when you run down the road after Naaman and after the world? He said, why did you come and lie to me? Don't you know that I saw all of those things? After that I had refused them, and after I'd shown you as my servant, they had to be refused. He said, where have you been? And then he made the confession. And here's what he told him. He said, you can have the worldly things, but just like the leprous men, he told him, said, leprosy will cleave to you and your seed as long as you live. Brother, you can have the things of this world, but you're going to have sicknesses and sorrows and heartaches and troubles, and at the end of the way, Satan is going to destroy your soul, and you're going to be cast into a burning lake of fire. What can we do? We can save ourselves. Now, what did he tell that man? He said, Naaman, he said, it's no time. I want you to listen to this, folks. He said, it's no time to build houses. Many hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years back, he said, it's no time to build houses. It's no time to plant vineyards. But the Bible said, labor for God, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus said, sell all you've got. Give it to God and take up your cross and follow Him. You haven't got a cross till you sell all you got. Then you got a cross. What can we do? We can save ourselves if we will. We can save ourselves if we will. I'm going to say this in close. Did you know that if it was no time then to build houses and to plant vineyards, friend, I can assure you it's no time now. I want to repeat the words that Elisha that the words that Elisha said to Naaman. I want to say the same thing to you. Jesus Christ, the word the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to tell you in the name of the Lord, it's no time to build houses. It's no time to plant vineyards. It's time to rise up and save yourself from this wicked and sin-cursed generation and get ready to meet God. It's time to. Let's all stand together, will you? And we appreciate you tonight. Trying not to weary you and take too long to express ourselves. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Praise the Lord. Father of heaven, as we come to you tonight, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord, we're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for these precious people that you listen. Lord, we pray that tonight, though there be just a few of you, that something has been said to sink deep down in their heart and make them to realize what we're going to look like in the day of judgment. Father, as we stand there before God with men like Job and Elijah and Peter, and Mary of old, Lord Jesus, and all the faithful women of old, Lord, help us to consider. Help us to examine ourselves and see if we've been faithful. Help us tonight, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Can you come back to the end? I'd love for us to sing a verse or two of the old song, Amazing Grace. Really, the grace of God is the most amazing thing that ever happened in this world. I guess it's one of the favorite songs of all times and sung about as much as any other because it most expresses the condition that we were in and the way that God feels to us and the way that we feel to Him. So let's sing the same worship together. Amazing grace, how me. I once verse or two of the song, pass me now, what you'll say here. How about coming up here right close while the tapes are playing? Let's see if we can get it on tape while we praise the Lord. Won't you? Come up here for just a few minutes. While we're worshiping the Lord, I feel His presence.
Oh, God.
Heal the sick body. Heal them tonight, Jesus. Father, give them the desires of their heart. Let them feel the liberty, Father, that's in the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel you breaking the yoke, Jesus. I feel your anointing coming down. I feel faith. Lord, as it begins to lift up. Grant it tonight. Hear from heaven. Oh God, in your life. We ask you in Jesus' name.